Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There's one thing I wanted to make clear to everyone. In order to be a member of Grand Valley Baptist Church, you have to have been baptized by immersion previously. Or sometimes we make them members and baptize them all at the same time. Kim was baptized earlier in life. I'm not sure what age. But she has come to the conviction that she's just recently been born again. And what I strive for as a pastor is that I want everybody to have a clear conscience before God. And even when you become a member of this church, I will say, can you say before Christ that you have been baptized since having saving faith in Christ? And if they can answer, "Well, yes, I have," well, then that satisfies that requirement, and I don't have to pursue it any further. But when someone later becomes convinced in their own heart, "Oh, wait a minute, I've been born again, I'm saved," and then they want to be baptized, I just see my role as a pastor is I want everyone in our church to have a clear conscience before God and to be obedient to Him, and I want to help you in your obedience to Christ. So that's why we're going to baptize her again, because in her heart before the Lord, she doesn't feel she was born again the first time, and so it's not valid. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. Again, Kim, would you come? And she's going to share her testimony with you, and it's just a wonderful testimony. So let's...
not a public blubbering by the time I'm done. Okay. Okay. I have to get some composure here. I'm just going to cry. I just can't hold it in. I'm sorry. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. Okay, many people are genuinely saved during their childhood. I believed for many years that I was among those people. And it was recently revealed to me by God that that was not the case. I have a story that might sound similar to some. I was raised in a church going home. I asked Christ into my heart when I was 13 and was baptized shortly after. I lived an average teenage life, didn't get into too much trouble, was respectful to others, prayed regularly, and sometimes went to church. I believed in Christ and that I was a good person. I married Joe at 19, and a couple years later, my husband received Christ. Believe it or not, I had a hard time with the fact that my husband became a Christian. Why would that be? Well, he changed completely. His life became something new, his desires changed, and everything about him became different. Now, if I were a Christian, I should have been happy for him. But the thing that bothered me most was this nagging thought of why didn't this sudden change happen to me when I became saved? Now, I understand some people do not have such a drastic change when they come to know Christ, but the fact was that I hadn't experienced any real change. I believed in Christ, but there was no real change evident in my actions and definitely no fruit. I would tell myself that maybe some people just require more time to change. Struggling with this issue for a couple of years, I finally sat down with our pastor at the time, and we prayed together. Once again, I asked for forgiveness of my sins, And in my past testimonies, I've always called this time in my life the time that I rededicated my life to the Lord. The excitement was there for a while, but as time went by, I slowly faded away from the Lord and returned to living a sinful, fruitless life, still believing that because I had said a prayer and was sincere about it, I must be saved. Recently, the Lord put it on my heart to read The Gospel According to Jesus by John MacArthur. And some of you may know this book and others not. But basically, the book defines easy believism and lordship salvation. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the term easy believism, it's actually a common Christian belief in today's society. I had never heard of this term before reading this book. And it basically states that all you have to do is believe in Christ, confess your sins, and continue living your life as you were. So by this belief, if we've asked Christ into our heart and confessed our sins, but there's no real transformation in our lives, that's okay. We're still saved because we've asked the Lord to forgive us. This easy believism defined the way I had been living my entire life. But this belief couldn't be further from the truth. The other term, lordship salvation, again a term I had never heard of, nor understood the true meaning of the word Lord before I read this book, states that yes, we must believe in Christ, confess our sins, and ask for forgiveness, but we must repent and change from doing these sins and strive to live a life close to Christ like this as humanly possible. And we must humbly give up ourselves to Christ, and turn over everything to Him and completely trust in Him, declaring Him as Lord of our lives. Based on this newfound understanding, the Lord revealed to me that I had not done this ever, that I had lived the last 24 years deceived, and I was not a born again or a regenerated Christian. I had heard the gospel many times and knew about Christ and believed that He was God in human flesh, but to simply know these facts James 2:19 states that even the demons believe in God. Going to church or being religious, teaching Sunday school, praying, and even being baptized, none of these religious actions will get you into heaven. A true regenerated Christian will be constantly searching and growing in the scriptures and seeking to live in a way that honors Christ due to the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in them and prompts them to live this way. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Matthew 5:48 says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. These verses do not mean that a true Christian will never sin again and will live a perfect life. But a true Christian will have Christ and the Holy Spirit living within them, giving them these righteous desires, therefore moving them into the direction of God's path and not mankind's. At the time of my so-called rededication to Christ, I do believe that God was working on my heart, but my sinful and stubborn nature rejected Him as Lord of my life. The struggle for years regarding the lack of change in my life was finally revealed to me through reading this book, that for all of those years I was not a true believer in Christ. My life did not reflect grace or righteousness. It didn't reflect obedience or repentance. It was simply the life of an unregenerate person. I worshiped with my lips, half of my heart, and only a very small part of my life. This is not characteristic of a true follower of Jesus Christ. This is a person who is lukewarm and not a true believer. Revelation 3:16 says, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The Lord has convicted me of many sins, some of which I had never even considered or thought of as sins. But his revealing these sins to me and my deep sorrow for committing these sins have caused me to mournfully ask for forgiveness and repent of them. I could stand here today and say that he has changed my life. And all of those years were wasted because of my ignorance and stubbornness and sinful living are lost. But he has given me a new life and a new spirit and new desires to live however many more years he chooses to give to me. I can say that he is Lord of my life, and I am striving with the Holy Spirit as my guide to learn what it means to live like Christ. I have asked Pastor Dan to rebaptize me as a symbol of obedience and reverence to God, as the first baptism was under false conversion. But I'd also like to use this opportunity to ask each of you who might have a similar story to really examine yourself. The Bible states that a true Christian will have genuine repentance and cling to Christ-like living. Romans 8:29 says that salvation is the work of God through which we are conformed to the image of his Son. John MacArthur sums it up best. Genuine assurance comes from seeing the Holy Spirit's transforming work in one's life, not from clinging to the memory of some experience or simple prayer. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If a person is genuinely saved, his life will change for the better. Ephesians 2:10 and Matthew 7:17 say, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. There is no way a true believer can fail to bring forth at least some of the fruit that characterizes the redeemed. Their desires are transformed. They begin to hate sin and love righteousness. They will not be sinless, but the pattern of their life will be decreasing sin and increasing righteousness. I am so grateful that God finally opened my eyes to his truths.
Privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just that meant a lot to me. About 20 years ago now, I read the same book for the first time. It had the same impact on me. My reaction after reading the Gospel according to Jesus was, finally, someone's told me the truth. So I guess I'd encourage you, get a copy of the book and read it. It spawned a huge debate in the church and was highly contested, and books were written back and forth. It was quite a stir 20 years ago. But it's a good book. It raises some very good questions, and it points out a lot of biblical truth. So, Eric, would you come and lead us in All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name? I know there's two versions of it. I want All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, or whatever one that one is. And I won't sing it for you again.